This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Activist Ho Yok Lin has welcomed the government's plans to ensure the rights of senior citizens, but says more must be done and more quickly. This comes after the government announced that they will be introducing legislation that protects the rights and welfare of senior citizens.
So in particular, she said the government needs to focus on improving medical and transportation services for the elderly instead of building activity centres to encourage their participation in the community, saying she wants the government to prepare for the fact that Malaysia is on its way to becoming a senior citizen country, where one in five people will be a senior citizen by 2040.
And one way to prepare for that is to have adequate medical services that tailor specifically to senior citizens. Australia was given as an example.
They often are in this area, yeah.
Where institutions like geriatric hospitals are built with senior citizen-friendly facilities, such as specially designed walkways, railings and furniture, and are also accessible in terms of cost.
Another issue to tackle, and this is not just for the elderly, it's for everybody, it's public transportation. Since Malaysia has very few services specifically for the elderly, which then leads to a situation where they become trapped in their own homes with no friends or families to bring them out if, you know, they don't have those people around. And then their mobile devices end up becoming their best friend because they're not getting that kind of social interaction.
And Yok Lin, of course, again, compared it to another countries, England, where she said bus drivers show special consideration for senior citizens to the point of waiting for them to reach the bus and sit down before driving off or going out of their way to drop them off at their doorsteps.
So she also disagreed with the government's proposal that the EPF contribution for workers aged 60 and above be reduced from 6 to 4%, saying these are retirement savings. It shouldn't be encouraged. Instead, it should be increased and there should be more ways to offer incentives for senior citizens.
Now, the FMT, the Free Malaysia Today, of course, also spoke to Lim Pek Wan, who works as a part-time clerk, and agreed that medical facilities needed improvement. She added that the country also needed doctors with a heart for senior citizens, where she recounted some of her experiences. Many times when I visit a doctor to treat a nerve problem that is affecting my palms, the doctor rules it out as old people's sickness, but does not explain to me what caused it.
This is a problem that countries worldwide need to address. I think most countries are heading towards becoming aging societies. And it is going beyond purely medical care, I think. And that is what is being alluded to here, that it is not just going to be about having trained doctors. It's not just going to be about having those medical centres. Infrastructure needs to be there to support it. If people can't get out of the house, you know, if people can't move around, then where is their independence? Where is their dignity? And it's who would want that life?
Yeah, if you can't get around, how are you going to go to those medical centres that you purposely built for them? How are you going to get to those activity centres that you built for them? There needs to be a more comprehensive plan, and I think there hasn't been one done right yet.
Let us know your thoughts. What would you like to see change in our country in terms of welfare for the elderly? What are the systems that you want to see in place? What are the priorities that you would like to see? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Sharul Bahia Kamaruzaman, who's a consultant geriatrician at UM Specialist Centre. So stay tuned for that. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
This is the Evening Edition with Lynn and Calvin, and we are talking about the need to improve structures in the country for the elderly. We're crossing over to Dr. Sharul Bahia Kamaruzaman, who's a consultant geriatrician at UM Specialist Centre. Dr. Sharul, thanks for joining us. So what would you say, in your opinion, is top priority for elderly welfare? Do you agree with Ho Yok Lin that it should be medical and transportation services?
Well, certainly you're asking a health professional, so certainly I would agree that refining and prioritizing health services would be one of the number one goals, because it's not just the actual health services per se, but access to how it's utilized, how it helps prioritize people of all ages, not just the elderly, the age friendliness of any facility that provides medical or health services need to incorporate everyone of various disabilities or impairments. So those who have a hearing impairment, visual impairment, which also include not just the old but the young, various forms of disability, cognitive impairment, those with dementia, access to health services by means of transportation, which is also hand in hand, is important. And so providing affordable, disabled friendly transportation that help improve utilization of various facilities, not just the health facilities, but you know, any sort of infrastructure that's within a community that so as to include the older person's ability to function and live independently within that community.
What about the notion that it should take precedence over the building of community and activity centres?
I somewhat agree with that stance. Not so much that the where the priorities lie, but with regards to building of more pusat activity warga mas, I think there's enough infrastructures that have been built, but the ones, the actual physical structures that are there should be refined. I don't think further financing should go into building of newer structures. It should be utilized, or you know, an idea of within any municipal council or community program could be supported by any municipal council to actually engage the community better and help a community engagement with regards to bringing the old and the young together. And for that to happen, I think you need to sort of work on the actual engagement of that community, as in the elderly themselves, by the elderly, for the elderly within such community, and it's bridging the old and young together.
So can you give us a sense of what a well-utilized centre would actually look like? How would you optimise that space? What sort of programmes would be of benefit and relevance to the community that the centres aim to serve?
Well, I'm a physician and I work also as a research consultant within University of Malaya. So we've done community programmes and community research within areas of PJA, Lembah Pantai. And we found that various communities are different. There are those that are below B40 and those that are in the middle income higher, their needs are different. So if you're going to tailor an activity centre for the senior citizens, we have to tailor it to the said community. So for example, if you're going to cater for those below the B40, so the urban poor elders, you might want to sort of focus on how to support their caregivers, how to provide information and infrastructure that people can go to seek information on social welfare, social support, how they can improve their financial standing, how they can approach how to pay bills if they can't afford to, how they can look into their rights if they are indeed, whether from any disabilities, etc. And this community could be a hub where certain agencies, government agencies or NGOs can also form links with a said community that would need, will be based on the needs that they have for their particular income group. And if you sort of go beyond so those middle and higher income, I think it would be those are already quite knowledgeable in terms of their health needs. They can access healthcare, etc. But maybe perhaps it's in terms of social engagement, in improving their health literacy, in seeking guidance as to where to obtain access to certain health related information, social information, technology-based facilities, etc. So a community hub that caters for all ages, not just the elderly. And I think that would really very much depend on what the community needs.
Has the Pakatan government shown that they are aware and committed to fulfilling both the urgent and long-term needs of the elderly?
I think there's a lot of good starts within, you know, the social media and what's being portrayed in newspapers, etc. Certainly, you know, encouraging policies that enhance the longevity of the workforce as you get older. So, you know, improving their EPF contributions, etc., so that you know, people who are 16 above can continue to work and thrive. So I think that's the first start. The other thing is with regards to improving their, not just their livelihood, but again, enhancing what the current policy for older persons are. I mean, taking a look at certain protection about elder abuse, etc., that's starting to come into play. But I do feel that in the longer run, perhaps to start basing the population strategies from middle age instead of just focusing on the elderly, it is a fine balance. Certainly, you know, as the you know, newspaper article that you're quoting does say that the services are needed immediately. And in certain areas, yes, transportation could be better. Health utilization and health access needs to be better, and it should be now. However, if we're to actually cater for a rapidly aging population, the population strategies, population-based strategies need to target those who are middle age and above. before all these problems then overwhelm in old age.
Right, and strategies that are targeted for the middle-aged are perhaps things that exist but not as publicly communicated or discussed. What would those be exactly?
Well, again, it's because you're speaking to a clinician, I guess. I think if you take, for example, health strategies, if we were sort of thinking in terms of improving the health of the elderly, I think we need to think about in certain disease states. For example, if you're diabetic, if you have certain neurological conditions, if you had a stroke, etc., and this is occurring as when you are middle-aged, if you have morbid obesity, you've got metabolic syndrome, etc., these are conditions that actually accelerate the aging process. So you're older before your time. You have osteoarthritis before your time. Your mobility is impaired earlier than when it should be. So I think targeting health strategies on a population basis is important so that we can then strike while the iron's hot before disability functional impairments go in and in older age, because we see the disabilities, etc., occurring much earlier in middle age. So if, you know, primary care physicians know that it is important to screen for mild cognitive impairment, memory loss, etc., in primary care at middle age, then we may be able to actually, whilst we understand that these are the risk factors for dementia, prevent dementia in old age, because it's becoming a little bit of an epidemic amongst younger diabetics, etc. So on a population health basis, improving the, you know, health literacy of the younger population about the importance of taking care of your health before you get to an older age, and I think is a good step in the right direction. So whilst I would advocate, being a geriatrician, that, you know, old age policies are important, protection of rights of older people are important, you know, at the same time, this does need to be balanced with an deeper understanding what it means to be age-friendly, but with a plan to anticipate problems in older age. If we did that, then, you know, we would be in less of a dire condition as we approach policies that need to protect older people in late life.
And I suppose very much discussed efforts like the smoking ban and the sugar tax completely align with what you're saying about policies that will, in the long run, help us age more productively. It's just not advertised as middle-aged policy.
I would totally agree. Although, you know, some people would sort of think about this as isolated bans. But if you look into the greater picture of why smoking needs to be banned, because, you know, smoking ages you. Smoking worsens your lung condition, and therefore, as you get older, this will deteriorate further into chronic lung conditions. So, and again, not just the smoker, but the secondhand smoker and younger children who are exposed to smoking, etc., it deteriorates your health. And therefore, in essence, it also worsens your, your longevity. Sugar bans, I think that is one big way in trying to reduce childhood obesity, because childhood obesity is something that predates metabolic syndrome with obesity, pre-diabetes, which is a condition which, again, accelerates your aging process. You're getting 40-year-olds who are already saying that, you know, they're slowed down, they're not walking as far, they're sedentary, etc. So putting a ban on sugar is a very good step in the right direction. Bearing in mind, you know, our number of highest cause of death is cardiovascular, heart attacks, etc., and strokes. So, you know, diabetes being the biggest risk factor for this. And again, need to remind you that we are the most obese nation in Southeast Asia. So, Malaysia boleh. So we've got to do something about this. And yeah, it is a step in the right direction.
And what do you hope to see the government do, or at least communicate to us, as they make more comprehensive policies for, you know, an aging society?
Well, I think all things start with small steps, and I think we're moving in the right direction. As for policies, I would like to coin the phrase age-friendly, as I said before, and it not just catering for any particular group, but making it accessible to all ages. And this means not just the age in terms of chronological age, but physiological age, taking into account of all disabilities, etc., that can occur at any age. And if that was, you know, considered, that would be the very big step in the right direction for any particular, whether it be infrastructure, health access, utilization, economic environment, financial security, etc., all that would be catered to if we use an age-friendly concept to all policies.
Dr. Charul, thank you so much for joining us. That was Dr. Charul Bahia Kamaruzaman, a consultant geriatrician at the University of Malaya Specialist Centre. And I mean, we did speak to a clinician, but clinical considerations aside, I think there are so many social aspects, like we said, that go into trying to care for the elderly or trying to anticipate what is going to be required. And we'd love to hear from you about what those things might be. What would you like to see for yourself, for your parents? How would you like your environment to change to accommodate that aging society? WhatsApp us and let us know, 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, earlier we were talking about how there was a Pakatan Harapan Senator, Bob Manolan, who was reported as threatening Orang Asli village chiefs or Tok Batin, saying that, look, if you don't vote, we don't pay. And we've had two listeners, Hong and Mohamed Shani, send in his statement, the senator's statement. And he basically denied threatening them, saying that it was, what he meant was that Tok Batin shouldn't hold their positions while also holding a position in UMNO simultaneously.
So he says that if a Tok Batin carries out political activities for UMNO and at the same time is receiving funds from the federal government, it is a conflict of interest. In my entire statement this morning, I never warned or threatened or used the words no vote, no pay.
He went on to say that he was asked basically who paid the allowances of village chiefs, and he said, well, it's the federal government. So therefore, Tok Batin, who still love their posts as UMNO branch chiefs, should then resign as village chiefs. And went on to say that Pakatan Harapan would ensure that it ran a clean campaign in Cameron Highlands. Look, I think that we have had several conversations on the show about Pakatan Harapan MPs, ministers, now senators, being misquoted, being taken out of context. And I think that perhaps if you made statements that were clearer in a less heated moment, perhaps people would be less inclined to kind of find that sort of misquote. I'm not saying that people were necessarily out to get him or anything like that. It's just reading the statement, there are still elements that I found a bit troubling.
Yeah, one of it was that, you know, he said that it is only logical and rational to have Tok Batins on the same page with the government in line with the administration's policies and aspirations to uplift the well-being of the Orang Asli community, as they are appointed by the Orang Asli Development Department to represent the community. And I don't think your views have to align with the government so long as it aligns with the community.
Yeah, in order to get funding. Anyway, let us know your thoughts. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We are headed to the news.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.